Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama. A cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsAndDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode number 64. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we are back once again, loyal listener, with a heaping helping of snarky goodness up all in your ear holes.
Is that where we are? Up all in their ear holes?
We're all up in there.
That sounds so invasive.
No, we have consent.
All right.
They chose to download this. They know what they're in for.
Next joke!
You know what you're in for.
How are you, Nelson Lugo?
I'm okay. No, I'm actually really good. I'm...
You're so used to saying that.
I know,
non-committal...
But I'm actually in a really good place. Lots of stuff is going my way these days. I mean, up and down, but for the most part, I'm happy...
Well, I am very pleased to say this.
Uh-huh.
I've been waiting to say this for a while. Folks, Nelson Lugo's one-man show.
Oh, dear.
Cheating Death.
Yeah.
Magic, Memoirs, and Mortality?
Uh-huh.
Is that the correct order?
Yeah. Magic, Memoirs, and Mortality.
Magic. You made it alphabetical so that you could remember.
Yes. That's exactly what I did. Yes.
It has opened. It opened. It had its run at the Tank Theater. Hopefully only its first run. And that means this thing that he's been laboring over and talking about for months and months on this show.
Well, years.
Years.
Yeah.
Has now...
I've birthed it.
He executed it. He did this thing.
Yes.
I got to see a performance of it.
Yeah.
And as a self-appointed amateur off-Broadway theater critic, I would like to offer my review.
Okay. Here we go.
It was very good.
I'll take it.
This has been episode...
Brown. What's the first note of the closing song?
What's the title of that song?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Let's not do that. No, but seriously, we haven't really spoken about this.
And no.
I didn't want to really talk to you about it until we had mics recording.
Of course.
I probably texted you some sort of... brief response.
Yeah.
Your show was fucking excellent.
Oh my God.
I saw a staged reading of it like 4 or 5 months ago.
Something like that, yeah.
And it was, I recognized the basic skeleton of it from what I'd seen then. But it had been really like jazzed up and sexed up, and it was like reorganized, and it was like the performance aspects of it were so much more enhanced, and
wow,
the magic was more rehearsed, and it was an excellent goddamn show.
Fuck.
So fuck you.
I don't know. I'm not prepared for this. I don't know how to respond to this.
I know you hate yourself, so.
That's also true.
It's so much easier for you to just be asked how it went so that you can hate yourself.
Yeah.
Rather than be forced with somebody praising
yeah.
the thing that you did. I get it.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're fooling anybody here. Everybody knows you're a pathological liar.
So. No. I lie about shit that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm, like I said.
This my best friend's labor of love that you spent all year working on, like blowing smoke up your ass. What's that going to do for you?
You have to say that.
I don't.
Of all the people on the planet, you are obligated to tell me that it was good because you're my best friend.
I'm not. I'm obligated. I guess I should. I'm obligated to not give you a scathing review to your face. If I thought that there was something really bad in it, I could point that out to you, but I would still temper that
by
emphasizing all of the good elements of
yeah.
it. I wouldn't give you like a bag full of shit. I'd give you a bag full of shit with like a bunch of Reese's peanut butter cups on top, still in the package. So then you'd be like, these are delicious. Oh, my failure's underneath. And so I brought it up. I wanted to say it first.
Well, thank you.
I thought it was an excellent show.
Thank you. I thought it was an abysmal failure.
From what perspective was it a failure?
The thing is because I couldn't get an extended run at the Tank, I could only get 4 dates.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Tank Theater moved, and if for those of you listening, if you remember Gathering the Magic, which was my first solo show, the Tank fully supported it, both financially and production wise. They were producers on the show, and so I got a three week run of mm-hmm. the show, and it got reviewed. It got massive audiences. I did it a lot in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
At least for New York off Broadway theater, I did it a lot. And as a result of that, I got tangible things I could use. I got reviews. I got to perform it in front of different audiences over the course of 3 weeks to sort of work out all the kinks. It got to live, it got to breathe, it got to evolve organically in performance.
Sure.
Right. As a result of that, I managed to perform it, you know, in several cities across the U.S., and I even got to do it in Amsterdam. So all of that sort of like reverberated.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Tank moved, and it's in a new space with 2 theaters, and
isn't it also an old space?
It was once the Algonquin Theater.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I felt like it looked familiar when I went in.
Yeah, but. it was once the Algonquin Theater, and I think they bought it from them, so now they own it, which means they're not sharing the space with any other production companies, which they were at the original space.
Mm-hmm.
And they're operating 7 days a week rather than just 4 days a week. And they have a massive amount of rent. So they're not really in a position to support individual shows anymore. They're just kind of like, you want to do a show here? Come do a show here. We're going to throw spaghetti at the wall every goddamn night, and we'll see what sticks.
Sure.
So
it's less than feeling it's less a feeling like you are being supported by this theater, and more like it's a music venue where you're booking your band, basically.
Yeah.
You're just booking time there.
Right, exactly. Which
That changes.
That's not a critique of the Tank. You know what I mean?
I mean, if things change, it's a different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They moved into bigger spaces, and as a result, the nature of what the Tank does and how they do it had to change. And they gave me 4 dates, which no other theater would have ever done. So to that, I am deeply grateful. Unfortunately, I can't do anything with 4 dates. I can't get reviews because no one's going to come out to review a show that only has 4 dates. I'm not going to be able to build an audience with mm-hmm. momentum you know, so whatever audience I get is whatever I, through any kind of promotion that I'm doing, is what's bringing them in. And because I'm essentially a one-man band, there's only so much I can do on my own, yeah. You know. And I had lots of people helping me. My partner, Lisa, was a massive help. But like between the two of us, there's limited resources, time sure. and resources. And I was rehearsing right up until the very end and still working things out right up until the very end and still building props and still, like, you know, getting costuming done. So like it was a fucking mad dash to the goddamn finish line. And so knowing all of this, several months ago, I decided what I was going to do with these four dates was I was going to use this as an opportunity to invite producers, invite artistic directors, invite people in positions who, if they liked the show, could help me take it further. Mm-hmm. And I must have emailed, God, like, I don't know, 100, 150 different producers and artistic directors and theaters and... I got six responses. Three of them confirmed tickets. One of them showed up.
Jesus.
Granted, now, in the theater world, that's pretty damn good odds.
Yeah, for an off-off Broadway.
For an off-off Broadway.
Four-show run.
With
one of the shows being on 9/11.
With one of the shows being on 9/11. Also, there were... there was some Jewish holidays also happening at the same sure. time, and 9/11, and it was just a perfect storm of stuff that was going to keep people not coming to the theater. Mm. So it was a critical success in that everyone who came to see it loved it. At least I'm taking it on faith that what they told me was true, and they seemed to really enjoy it and really was affected by it, both artistically and sort of personally, emotionally. It's a failure in that it's a 98-seat theater. So I'm going to round up. I'm going to say 500 seats. So over the course of four shows, the maximum amount of tickets sold could be 400 seats, mm-hmm. minus, you know, two per each night. I think a total four night, 80 people saw the show. And maybe 60 of those bought tickets. So it's hard. It's hard not to take that personally. It's hard to justify the 3 years of work that I did.
Sure.
To the actual turnout. It's difficult to not
be discouraged.
Yes. And more than that, just not see that as a result of my work.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah.
I know that you know intellectually that that is not a reflection of your work.
Oh, I get that intellectually.
You understand because you know how...
I know how theater works.
Theater works, and yeah. especially in New York. And as you said, like, you preface this whole thing with, like, it is hard to put butts in seats for a show without reviews.
Yeah.
And you can't get reviews if you don't have enough of a run.
Right.
So does... You are... I'm going to just hope here... that you are not so discouraged that you are not going to pursue putting this on stage again somewhere, if possible, or at least like seek it.
Yes.
Hold on. Let me finish that question. I'm hoping that you are going to attempt to book this show again in another theatrical venue, while it's still fresh before you start. Submerging yourself in the next show that you're going to spend 3 years of your life hating yourself over. Because I know that's the instinct. You spend all this time, and by the time it's on stage, you're sick of all the material, and you're just like, well, this was an abject failure. I guess that means I'm going to go start working on my next show and just let this one fucking burn in the dumpster. And the part of you wants to do that, doesn't it? Don't do that.
There is a part of me that wants to do that. Unfortunately... As the theater world, and I guess Hollywood, and I guess sort of like the film Hollywood world as well, the phrase "hurry up and wait" is sort of like the life, right? So mm-hmm. you build a thing, and then there's this mad rush to get it ready, get it seen, and then there's you wait. You wait for a long time for something to happen. And in that waiting, you're actively doing things so that you're planting seeds so that something can happen, mm-hmm. right? So I'm in the figuring out what's next phase. Mm-hmm. And this could take anywhere up to like 6 months to a year, mm-hmm. ultimately. Because I can't do this in New York again. I just can't. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resources. I literally burned bridges and bent over backwards to try and get people to see this show. I even stooped to the level of texting people to personally invite them to the show. And no one came. Not no one. 80 beautiful people over the course of four nights came. But,
yeah.
You know.
I know you just got done saying that, like, it's, you know, the audiences liked it, the ones that you got. The audience that I was at the show that I was at fucking loved that show.
Yeah.
The show works.
Yeah, yeah.
And from an artistic standpoint, like, strip away all of the theater politics, the, like, the business end of it and all the promotion and the work and the discouragement from that. Just from a purely, just stripping it down to just the artistic part of it.
Yeah.
It's excellent and it works really well. And I think it would just be a shame if the rest of it, like, if you baby bathwatered this thing.
Yeah. And I guess that's really what the next 6 months are really going to be about, or at least, you know, just after the new year, like January, February, just kind of figuring out what's next. Because if I do it somewhere else, it can't be New York. So that means I mean, there's several routes, right? So I can go the festival route, which is entirely possible. This is festival ready.
Absolutely. It's festival material.
It's festival material as well. The problem is that festivals have a barrier to entry in that the application fees can be in the hundreds of dollars.
Sure.
So, and only doing one festival, as fun as that would be, not something I'm particularly interested in. Like, if I'm going to do festivals, I want to do a festival circuit. Because, again, it's the same idea of, like, only doing a four-show run. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do the festival circuit and you want the show to get noticed, you have to do a lot of festivals. And those fees can run into, like, you know, the tens of thousands of dollars.
That doesn't say anything about the travel. And
right, exactly. And then I have to figure out how to get there and room and board. And then when I get there, I have to hustle to get people to come to see the show. So it's possible, just it might be cost prohibitive.
Sure.
Which is not to say, you know, and then sort of like, and then you can go down the rabbit hole, right? So then the solution to that could be grants, right? So that means I have to be a grant writer, which means I need to go to like an annex college course to learn how to write grants. And then
yeah,
you know,
and it all starts becoming so very daunting.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't have time to do this. This is a young man's game.
Yeah,
I can't commit this much time to my life. I already did the thing.
Right.
I made the thing. Why do I have to do all this extra shit for the thing?
the other would be to sort of like go the musician route, like call up theaters and book theaters for like a night or two. Yeah. In other states and do like a mini tour that way, which
that seems like probably like kind of an effective way to do it, because when you travel, because then you're traveling,
right?
And then having a single show in a town makes sense because you're a traveling act, so people see it and they're like, oh, I read this thing and I want to see it. And also you become exotic because you're from New York,
right?
And not only that, you are the co-host of the Epic Podcast, so the
I don't know
fans from here to here again. I went all the way around the globe when I did that. Okay.
Yeah.
They would be like, oh my God, Nelson Lugo's in town. I didn't know he toured.
Yeah. And then there are, you know, potholes and pitfalls with that one.
Of course.
So it
sucks. Traveling sucks.
Well, just like the legwork alone of like all of the phone calls, all of the emails, doing the research. Because the thing is like this show, it's not just the magic shows. I can't just go to like a music venue on an off night.
You
and
can't.
Do it.
You need a rapt, quiet theater audience to listen because the show is, I don't want to say it's more storytelling than magic, but it
No, that's
everything
probably accurate.
Everything is hinged on the storytelling, and you need not a raucous bar crowd who's like talking like, oh, rabbit out your ass. You need people that are paying attention to these like nuanced emotional stories about your brushes with death.
Yeah, it needs to be a theater. It needs to be a theater where people can sit in the dark and feel emotions. I don't know. I'm the only option. Well, not the only option, but the option that makes the most sense to me is to find someone with money and means to be get interested in the show. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to take time, really. And you're right. Like, I don't want this as much as I don't know if I like the show yet.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard, and not hard in the artistic way. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Do.
I bet it's emotionally draining.
Yeah. I wrote a show where I have to talk about some of the most awful moments of my entire life.
For in such excruciating detail.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I like the show so much, because I like seeing you be miserable.
True. I'll grant you that.
It's, I don't know, just... Gathering the Magic was a great show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is an exceptional show.
Well, Gathering the Magic was designed on purpose to be pleasant and earnest and sincere. And
that's fine. That's all great.
It was designed to have mass appeal, right? It could, mm-hmm. you know, and kids could watch it, right?
Yeah.
This one was not, this was designed on purpose to be uncomfortable and creepy and unnerving, and the audience at some point will genuinely feel concerned for my life. You know, they will feel unsafe for parts of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the roller coaster, the sort of roller coaster analogy. Like, you know, you go in, you do lots of loops and turns and loop-de-loops and corkscrews, but you come right back into the station safe and sound. That's the show.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that's going to be like a tough sell to, you know,
I mean,
to a theater producer.
I mean, you just explained to me why I like that show better, because you're like, it's challenging. It's not like all smiles and happiness. It's challenging. It's dark. It's conceptual. It explores a lot of difficult emotional periods in your life, makes an audience worry about your well-being. Yeah. Maybe alienate some of your previous audience. Woo! Sing it to my heart. This is my favorite shit you just described.
But I'd like to think that there's a lot of heart in it, that there's that people walk away feeling good
about
their life, you know, or at least hopeful, you know.
I mean, the thing that they can take away from it is all this like kind of morbid talk of death and at times kind of the futility of things that at the end of the show, they're like, they still saw a guy who's very talented, like pour his blood, sweat, and tears into putting a show on stage and dressing up and really delivering it. And you're like, if that guy is so tragic, he is still incredibly functioning, that he is creating a thing and can do it. That's kind of its own silent, moral of the story.
I mean, again, that's also, there's nothing in the show that's an accident. That's also designed, you know, the what I wear on stage is heavily curated to, like, no matter how bad it gets in the stories that I'm telling, I'm still a guy standing on stage looking really dapper and really put together and really neat and professional. And that's also on purpose, right?
Yeah.
So it allows me a sort of cachet or unspoken credibility that what I'm saying has been handled, you know? And that I'm not sort of going through therapy for, you know, an hour and 15 minutes.
At some point in the past, how long have we been friends? 12 years?
Something like that, yeah. Right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I feel like we have like artistically morphed into the same person. Like we just met each other in the center. We couldn't have been farther ends. I was a fucking idiot. I was a clown in a costume doing rap songs and you were a Coney Island sideshow magician. Yeah. And some point we met in the middle. We're basically doing a very similar thing now.
Well, I think we informed each other, to be honest.
Well, probably. God, we spend so much fucking time together.
I know. God damn. Your sick passenger really was the seed for Cheating Death.
It's quoted in the show. I'm not spoiling the line, though, but thank
you. Yeah, it was the your album Sick Passenger was the proof that I needed that this idea that I had was even feasible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you made something with that inspiration that is so much better than the source material. Cause
oh, shut up.
I feel like your show is timeless and my record's already starting to feel dated. So bravo to you.
I think. No, not at all. Not at all. I still listen to a lot of Six Pack.
Well, I'll knock it off.
So that's basically where I am. It was. And I think I've said this immediately. I've said this a number of times, and I think I may have stolen this from you, in that I loved being on stage. I loved telling the stories. I loved doing the magic. I absolutely fucking hate everything that preceded it,
mm-hmm.
and everything after it.
Yep.
And so those times where I was on stage for 75 minutes in front of 20 or 30 people, in a 98-seat theater, which if you have never seen that before, then you should hold onto your pillow extra tight tonight because you don't know what loneliness is.
Oh, God. Right in the heart.
Yeah. Let me tell you, seeing 30 people in a 98-seat theater is kind of like the cartoon equivalent of like when Bugs Bunny goes out and does the most spectacular act and then it's just crickets.
Look, I've been booked at a number of anime conventions, nerd conventions,
sure.
comic book
sure,
conventions,
sure, sure.
where I am one of the musical acts and they will put me and they'll have like everybody will stay in
uh-huh.
the same hotel where the convention is and it's usually some big like Marriott or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
and then they'll have like a music portion. They'll set that up in one of those like their big like kind of convention rooms
right.
and they'll fill that fucking room with chairs front to back, hundreds of rooms, can't even see the people at the soundboard because it's so
wow.
far in the back. Great big stage on risers. They'll bring in lights and they'll set everything up and they'll put me in there and I'll go on stage and I'll come out with guns ablaze and be like, here, I'm gonna earn my trip to this city. And then like right, it's that first time you like step forward far enough on stage that you just get right under those stage lights and you see that that giant room has 12 fucking people in it. Yeah, it hurts.
God
damn. Whatever,
it.
You still give them a show.
Yeah, no, those 80 people got one hell of a show.
I am among them,
yeah.
and I would not like a refund.
Good.
It was an excellent show.
Thank you.
So if you are involved in the booking of theaters or artist management or whatever it is, whatever the theater equivalent of the rock and world booking agent is, and you have ties and you would like to bring Nelson Lugo's Cheating Death to your city, give us a shout at epicpiecast@gmail.com.
I'm real cheap.
That's true.
I feel like there should be a jingle at the end of that. You know, Nelson Lugo, do, 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 do. He's real cheap.
Oh, my God. I would make that. if I had time.
You don't have time.
I don't have time.
You don't have time. You're doing 8 million things.
I don't have time to do this freaking episode right now.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I shouldn't. We should have taken a month
off. I'm looking
at
3 cardboard boxes full of brand new t-shirts that you need to fold and put into bags so that you can mail them to a tour you're going on for 3 weeks.
Oh, there's just so much. I feel like
And you're also putting on a new record?
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Okay, from concept to execution, how long did it take you to put this new thing together?
Well,
because I would like to point out, it took you 6 years to create Sick Passenger.
It did not take me 6 years.
It took you 16 years to put out Sick Passenger.
It did no such thing.
Yes, Manslaughterer was in 2000. Sick Passenger came out
2000?
Yeah, Sick Passenger came out last week.
Manslaughterer came out in 2009.
Okay.
The other one came out in 2013.
Yeah. 4 years later.
I wasn't really actively working on it until 2010. So like it was about 3 years to make that record.
Okay.
And yeah, now there's a new record, but it's a whole different thing, and I can talk on and on about it, but I feel like maybe we should take a break.
Okay. Take a break.
Because there's a lot. We'll break it up. We'll do this episode. We'll catch up on Cheating Death in the first half, and then we'll catch up on the thing that I've been complaining about all summer.
All right, let's do it.
So then, and without any context or explanation yet, we'll play a song from this project for our break, and then I'll come back and explain what the hell this is.
Nice.
Does that sound like a decent deal?
Sounds perfect.
Great. The plug section is going to be really long.
No, it's not.
Well, it is.
Oh, shit.
Because we're going to condense that other thing. Don't tell the story before you tell the story.
Got it.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
Yo, you got a problem? I got some, lots of them. Everywhere I look, I'm crawling with them, rotten ones. Bottom rung dwellers want a bare knuckle cat fight. They got skeletons and belt buckles, that's right. Here they come, bum bum, hits the kick drum. Wicked like the pictures, get your stun gun, dum dum. I'm done, son, better boost up the pace. They got me cruising through space, they got me losing my faith. They got me right where they want me and they're coming in hot. Gotta slip a little distance and get under their shot. I brought a bat to a cannon battle, run to the spot and hole up inside and pack up my pride and cry, mother of God. Rocking a hate-based rage, making it up to the top. Feel like my eyeballs will burst, my eardrum's gonna pop. I got my talons out, calling like a bald eagle. I got 7 billion problems and they're all people. Hit me! I hate people, I hate people, they're evil. At their best they're bad, at their worst they're lethal. Lost all hope, past the end of my rope. I'm just a misanthrope and I can't cope. People, oh! I hate people, see all people equally. Just a plague upon a planet we inhabit needlessly. It's too late for me to wait for what the future brings. I've seen the human beings ruin things. I come on, watch them cheat and steal and turn a blind eye. Watch the self-serving backstabbing wolf criers lie. Watch them feed, turn their wants to needs, greed get big. Watch them wallow in their sickness, filthy two-legged pigs. Watch them pass you on the right, park and take up 2 spaces. Interrupt you when you're speaking, making smug vacant faces. Cut you at the bar, plunk it down, not a bone. And come to a dead stop on the stairs and then fuck around on their phones. Backpedal, hate speech like they were jesting only. Block a sidewalk, walking 4 abreast slowly. Push their way aboard, then block the doors on the train. Out with their hella giant umbrellas after the passing of rain. You mouth breathing, open mouth, eating, creating, spitting, spray. You man spreading, mansplaining, pricks, put your dicks away. You name dropping, shade tossing, never been stars. Oh God, delete the species, please start over on Mars. I hate people, I hate people, they're evil. At their best they're bad, at their worst they're lethal. Lost all hope, past the end of my rope. I'm just a misanthrope and I can't cope. People, oh! I hate people, see all people equally. Just a plague upon a planet we inhabit needlessly. It's too late for me to wait for what the future brings. I've seen the human beings ruin things. I come on, all the racist and the sexist and the looted white dudes who think the criticism equals persecution. Fuck the All Lives Matter crowd, feed them to the fishes with the sickening Christians calling their bigotry freedom of religion. The pious with their bias backing stacks, they cite as facts, and the frozen
feminist clothes who don't get claps, then attack the sexual predators, circling sharks who depend upon the support of the chicken shit rape apologists they call friend. Like that pretentious artist fuck who fights that man is better, and that no talent hack who still fights the hands that fed her. The guy who wanted me working for free and talk shit when I didn't, and all of the kids who say that I suck who've been on my scene for like minutes. Those who have the power to resist but wouldn't dare, and the child in the White House and those who put him there. I'm over them, fed up, I've had enough of their stay, and if you're with me, put a hand up, now go the fuck away. I hate people, I hate people, they're evil. At their best they're bad, at their worst they're lethal. Lost all hope, past the end of my rope, I'm just a misanthrope and I can't cope. People, oh! I hate people, see all people equally. Just a plague upon a planet we inhabit needlessly. It's too late for me to wait for what the future brings. I've seen the human beings ruin things, now fuck off!
Did you know that the Epic Podcast is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network? And did you know that the Nerdy Show Podcast Network is home to dozens of other programs that are also surely relevant to your nerdy interests? Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Swing by nerdyshow.com and see what treasures await you. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the entire Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Folks, this month on the program, we have no guest.
Nope.
I don't even have time for this.
No time, because you are a busy mofo.
Yeah. Look, so...
Schaefer, I have no idea what you've been gearing up for the past few months. Please tell me.
Oh, excellent. What a great invitation for me to do that thing that you just said. So for the past year, as our podcast has devolved into mostly the two of us angrily updating one another on the status of our novelty projects,
sure.
I have been working on a new record.
Yes, you have.
All summer.
Yes, you have.
And also gearing up for a tour. But more about that in a minute. I've mostly been pouring all of my energy and all of my sleepless nights. I don't know. I think since it's late September, I think since early August, I'm averaging about 4 hours of sleep a night.
Oh, dear God.
I know. And
okay.
That has an effect on your psyche.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
I have been working on a record. I have a new record that is coming out next week. It will appear on Bandcamp on Monday, October 1st. And here's the thing about it. It's not... I've done a lot of work over the years with Vince Vandal.
Yes, you have. He's a great guy. I love him.
He's a great guy. He's a very talented producer from Baltimore. He has... he and I worked together. He made all the beats on Sex Rhymes, and he mixed that record. And he's just done a bunch of stuff. He mixed a bunch of the songs on Junk Drawer 2. We've done a lot of stuff together. And so we started talking about making a record together, and he had this idea that, like, since we work together so much, maybe we should try releasing an album as a fully collaborative project. Instead of it being just another Schaefer the Tark Lord produced by Vince Vandal,
right,
that we just give ourselves a collective name.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Killer Mike and LP don't release their albums under Killer Mike and LP.
No.
They're Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
So... this record that we're dropping is not a new Schaefer the Dark Lord record produced by Vince Vandal.
What?
Oh, no. It is the debut record from my new collaborative project with Vince Vandal, and we are called The Department of Darkness.
Did you just bleep that?
No.
It's
public now.
Is it now? Is it public now?
This information, we've been like kind of cryptically teasing it like I have everything I've released.
Uh-huh.
But today, well, no, I'm sorry, not today, but last Monday, Lars, MC Lars got to drop that news on his podcast.
Oh, sweet.
And so now it's public. We can talk about it.
Okay.
My new record and my new collaborative collective.
Yeah.
is the Department of Darkness. And our new album, our debut album, is self-titled The Department of Darkness.
I love it.
And it's coming out on Bandcamp. Uh-huh. And after that, it'll be available on like iTunes and Spotify and Amazon, everywhere you get your digital music. And there won't be any CD copies, but before the year's end, there will be a vinyl release.
Ooh.
We're going to release this on a 12-inch.
Nice.
And if you come see these tour dates we're talking about, there will also be USBs that have the whole album, as well as a bunch of bonus materials, some extra tracks, well as a remix kit, including some instrumentals and acapellas.
You showed me the USB
bonus track?
The USB and the bonus track.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it's pretty good. It's okay. Really good. I think it's all really inspired, and I think you and Vince are doing some fantastic work.
Thank you. I think what we're doing here is we're considering it more of like a larger open-ended collective. Yeah. Not quite like the Wu-Tang because that feels more like that is a crew, but
yeah.
there's a similar feel to it in that we don't really just consider it. This also, I don't have a lot of guests on my records. This record has 12 guests. This record has 13 guests. And
how many tracks?
10.
10 tracks, 13 guests.
Yes.
Jeepers.
So we just packed it in.
Yeah.
We packed the guests in. And so we consider everybody who makes an appearance on this record a member of the Department of Darkness. And that would include my DJ, Lugatron 5000.
Holy shit! I'm a member of the Department of Darkness?
Welcome to the department.
Oh, nice! Do I get like an ID badge or like a pin?
You'll get something. There will ultimately be, there's an official like governmental seal for the department.
Nice.
And there will be pins of that.
Nice.
There'll be some sort of, I don't know, hiring ceremony.
Will there be like a red t-shirt with like a black tie?
No.
Oh.
There will probably be a red and black t-shirt. The official colors of the Department of Darkness are red and black.
I like it.
Not purple.
I know.
So you got to let go of your expectations.
Let go.
This record has 10 tracks. That song that we just played was the first one that was made for it about a little over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And
fantastic.
It was supposed to be a track for Vince's record, Friends and Fandom, Volume 2.
Uh-huh.
Advanced Friends and Fandoms. which is this project where he makes beats and then he gives them to MCs that he likes and says, here's a beat, here's a title.
Right.
I don't care what you write, but you have to use that title.
Right.
And I love that assignment.
Because I love it.
When somebody just gives you a beat and you're like, I need focus. I have too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was, he gave me a beat called I Hate People and then gave it to me because, I don't know, typecasting. And that was the song I made. And then we'd had a couple other songs in various states of completion. And as this year opened, we started realizing that come fall, I was going to go on tour and I need to finish up a record. And maybe that could be a deadline for this first project. So
yoink.
I got I Hate People back from his record.
Nice.
And it's going to go on our collaborative thing. This album features...
Oh God.
Oh, here we go.
You're going to do the whole thing?
I'm going to do the whole list.
From memory?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
In order of their appearance.
All right. I'm going to put up fingers for everyone.
Okay. This record features Oh My, Cool Z, Francine, Michael Kill, Megaran, MC Frontalot, Miss Eves, Lady J of Wreck the System, Lex the Lexicon Artist, MC Lars, Shubzilla, also DJ Lugatron 5000.
Oh, wow.
Bunny Buxom has some vocal parts in a track, and it'll be mastered by our close friend, Cecil Decker,
who
has mastered most of the things
that's that I have made. That's a jam-packed album.
Yeah. It's... It is jam-packed, and I'm sick of it. I'm not. But I have just lived inside of this record basically all summer.
Of course.
I feel like it's kind of a dual concept album. Like we're working together and this all these things mesh. Like from Vince's end, and he's probably going to correct me if I say this
wrong. He absolutely will.
But it feels to me like he has made kind of a concept tribute record in that the music is all kind of throwback to mid-90s hip-hop, both West Coast gangster rap and East Coast boom bap.
Whoa.
Like, there's lots of samples because I'm challenging copyright infringement laws. there's music samples, there's movie samples, there's lots of vinyl sound effects over the things. There's lots of just big, hard beats, and there's like a lot of the songs, some of the songs will have kind of that almost like smooth, like funk or soul samples, kind of like the gangster at that time did.
Yeah.
Or some plinky keyboards.
Sure.
That are, it definitely feels, it throws back, it seems to kind of like pay homage to arguably my favorite era of hip hop.
Yeah.
Which is the 90s West Coast gangster rap.
Mid to late 90s hip hop. Yeah.
Right. And also the East Coast, like, jazzy rap and boom bap.
I love the boom bap myself. Big fan.
From my end, it is just an exploration of all of my vendettas against all of the terrible, horrible fucking people that have fucked up my life and really fucked up my friends' lives.
Yeah.
So I didn't go into it saying I'm going to write about a bunch of songs about these poisonous fucking vampires who are trying to ruin everyone that I love.
No.
It just kind of happened.
Well, you know, you write what you know.
You write what you know.
and you know, art is often cathartic.
Sure.
And a means of expressing something larger than mere words can convey.
Sure.
And you know, you've transcended your anger into music, and which every rock and roll hip hop artist has done since time immemorial.
Sure.
So
I guess it's also like, it takes me a really long time to write stuff and release stuff. I work very slowly.
You do.
It's mostly on like the writing end. Well, it's not. It's I guess.
Well, you workshop it to death.
Yeah, I workshop shit to death, and I write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. As it turns out, if you are coming up with concept after concept that kind of calls back to this nest of scumfuck vampires who are trying to ruin everyone you love, as it turns out, that anger, that vitriol, it
just writes itself.
It translates into songs that just fucking write themselves. I mean, I write songs to death. There are songs on this record that are first draft lyrics.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
I would just write them and I'd be like, at the end, just gritting my teeth, be like, pencils down and done. Vince, this song is finished and I'm angry. What else you got?
This one's called Fuck You to Death.
This one's called Everything That You Say Lies.
This one's called I Will Pee on Everything You Love.
This song is called I Used to Like Star Wars Until I Learned a Fuck Face Like You Did Too. Fuck Everything You Enjoy. Oh, there's also a lot of swearing on this record, in case that wasn't clear. I've been trying to censor myself.
And that's different from the other albums?
I feel like I've heard this reputation of mine echoed back at me a lot on the internet in the past 15 years.
Uh-huh. I'm loving where this is going.
That I that I'm foul mouthed.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I have a lot of swear words in my songs.
Yes, you do.
A lot of the songs that I've been doing for many years, they're older and they have a lot more swears.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but I try to use swear words sparingly and have for about the past 5 years.
I think
so that they're more effective when they drop. I
hear you, and I have noticed. However, just because you're not writing swear words doesn't mean you're not writing songs that are the filthiest fucking things I've ever heard.
Well, we're not talking about that.
You found a nice little loophole in that they're not quote unquote swear words,
right?
But
I mean,
the language isn't work appropriate.
No, I have an old song called Do Sex, and there are no swears in it, and it's one of the dirtiest songs I've ever written.
Yes.
But that was really just an exercise in seeing if I could do that.
Yeah.
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 This album, it's just F-bombs all over the place. And my guests, too. I'd like to thank my guests who brought all their swears. Well, I guess they didn't.
Is this a callback to like Two Live Crew?
No.
Uncle Luke.
Oh, gosh.
We had a whole song where it was basically just fuck you, Janet Reno.
Oh, God, right. Is that when they're banned in the USA album?
Yes.
Their follow-up after they got arrested in Florida? And
yes. Basically 3 minutes of them just saying, fuck you, Janet Reno,
yep,
for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I love Two Live Crew.
I loved Two Live Crew so much. I still do.
I still love Two Live Crew.
As nasty as you want to be, it's such a great record.
It's a great record. It's horrible. It's horribly misogynistic.
If anybody disagrees with that.
It does not hold up well.
No.
No. But I, it's one of my guilty pleasures.
Sure.
Yeah.
If anybody listening has a problem with that, I will drive to your town. And I will drive to the grade school there.
Oh, shit.
And I will meet you at the bike racks at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And you better get ready to kick my ass, because I am not a very good fighter.
If you disagree with me, you can send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So anyway, this record got really accelerated.
Good. I'm glad.
But specifically because we had a deadline,
yeah,
when it became clear that I was going to be going on the road again this fall.
Yes. And when is that?
So glad you asked.
Yeah.
The record drops on Monday, October 1st.
Oh, nice.
I get on an airplane Tuesday, October 2nd. I fly to Austin, where I meet up with my bandmates,
uh-huh,
and our tour kicks off in Austin, Texas, Wednesday, October 3rd.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Do you want to say all the dates and the locations here, or do they just go to the website?
I'm going to put a link, but I'll just say the cities.
Yeah.
I'll give you a list of cities of where we're going. By the way, this is the same tour that we did on the West. This is the same tour we did on the East Coast last fall.
Uh-huh.
It is with MC Lars.
Nice.
Mega Ran.
Love him.
MC Frontalot.
He's a cool cat.
And their foul-mouthed cousin, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
He's all right.
He's all right. It's quite a gamble. It's I feel honored that I have had professional relationships, that I have had close friendships,
yeah,
with all three of these guys for over 10 years.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Because if they just known me, there is no reason why they would want to take me on tour with them.
That's not true.
Hold on. Only because all three of them, a thing that they have in common is that they have been pretty diligent about keeping all of their language clean on their records. Now, I know I just got done defending myself for saying I'm not that foul mouth, but compared to them,
yes.
I'm Sam Kinison.
Yes, you are.
I'm Richard Pryor.
Yes.
I am filthy.
Yes.
And so they book these tours and they've got like really, you know, like a lot of positive messages and like inspiration and these largely are all ages shows.
Yeah.
And I cold open these shows. So everybody shows up being like, I love Mega Ran. He's a teacher. He inspired me. Oh, I love MC Lars. He loves literature. And he like raps clean about all these like classic American,
sure,
authors. I love MC Frontalot a lot. He explores this kind of like technological angst and how that has like affected our lives, and explores like cult of celebrity and various themes that he explores,
sure,
but also very clean and accessible. And then we open the show with old Dirty Pants. I come out there and I'm like, hey guys, welcome to the family show. I'm your opening act. Here's 30 minutes about people who are ruining my friends. Effity, 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 F. And it's only because they love me.
It's not only because they love you. It's because you're damn good at what you do.
Well, don't you go... Sweet talking me, buddy. Anyway, I am going to be on tour in, uh-huh, support of this record. Unfortunately, I regret to inform our listeners,
mm-hmm,
that my bandmate, Vince Vandal, will not be joining me on these shows.
Boo!
Nor will my DJ, Lugatron 5000.
Boo!
Yeah.
This has been the Epic
Podcast. Okay.
Tune in next week when Schaefer will be doing it on his own.
Oh!
Because apparently that's all he knows how to do.
I cannot afford you.
I come cheap. Again, remember my jingle? Nelson
I
Lugo. Do, 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 do. He's cheap.
Okay. So I am going to be hitting the road. I don't think there's an official name for this tour. I've just been calling it the Mount Nerdcore Tour.
Yeah, the Mount Nerdcore Tour, yeah.
Anyway, October 3rd, we will be in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
October 4th, we will be in Dallas, Texas.
Ooh.
October 5th, San Antonio, Texas.
Lots of Texas.
October 6th, Odessa, Texas.
Yeah, there we go.
Never been there. October 7th, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Ooh.
October 9th, Tucson, Arizona.
Wowzers.
October 10th, Phoenix, Arizona, Megarans Town.
Nice. Hometown kid makes good.
Yeah. October 11th, San Diego, California.
Nice.
October 12th, Long Beach, California.
Oh, Long Beach.
October 13th, San Francisco, California. I'm coming home.
Nice.
It's not my home. I lived there for five years.
It's your adopted home.
Yeah, but I'm still really excited to come back. It's always good to come back to San Francisco.
I think we have friends in San Francisco, too. So
I used to live there.
Yeah.
Except I think all of my drug dealers are probably dead now, which is good, because I don't do drugs. Lugo? October 15th, we'll be in Portland, Oregon.
Nice.
October 16th, Seattle, Washington.
Oh, nice.
October 17th, Boise, Idaho. October 18th, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wowzers.
October 20th, Denver, Colorado.
Nice.
October 21st, Kansas City, Missouri. October 22nd, St. Louis, Missouri, and October 23rd, the final show in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You can find tickets and Facebook events for all of these shows by visiting nerdcoretour.com.
Nice.
I'm really excited to go. It's been like,
yeah.
I've spent all month just killing myself trying to make album artwork and record these tracks and coordinate with guests and work with Vince and listen to mixes and get the album together. And then also, like, I've purchased all this new merchandise. I'll have new t-shirts on this tour, and I'll have these USBs, and I'll have all the other stuff that I always have. And, ooh, copies of that 7-inch, the Choose Your Own Avengers split 7-inch.
I gotta pick that up.
Yeah. I've got so much stuff that I've got to, like, organize now that the record is being mastered, and I got to get all this stuff organized and shipped out to Texas to meet me there when I land on the plane. And I haven't even really put the work into yet of preparing for an actual tour by, like, rehearsing and writing a set list. So I guess that's what I'm going to do after I fold 600 t-shirts.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I'm really excited to see all of you.
It sounds like an amazing lineup and an amazing lineup of cities. And I got it. You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous.
Well, touring's overrated. Especially on the West Coast, because all those cities are like 10 hours apart.
Ooh.
So they're all long drives.
That's fair.
It's fun. I'm looking forward to spending time with those guys on the road.
Yeah.
Last time we toured the East Coast, we went in two vehicles. This time we're traveling all together.
Oh, wow. So you're getting like a big old bus thingy?
We're getting
like
a van.
Big old cargo van.
And if for any reason you don't live in any of those cities, I would also recommend in the month of October that you go and find out where MC Chris is touring, because he is currently on the road with my pals, Dual Core and Lex the Lexicon Artist.
There you go.
And
that's
they
an
are
amazing
touring.
Lineup.
Their tour is twice as long. It's 2 months, 40 dates.
2 months. Good gravy.
And it's covering some East Coast, too. So, yeah, come see the Mount Nerdcore Tour.
I love Dual Core. I love Lex.
But go see them too. Go see both shows. Buy all of our merch.
Buy all of it.
We're not
Support
doing this because
Support independent artists.
We're not doing it because it's fun. We're doing it because we pretend it's a career. That's not true. That's just the most cynical thing I said on this episode. And also, please, on Monday, October 10th, on Monday, October 1st, please swing by Bandcamp and download the Department of Darkness record.
Department of Darkness. I love that.
The Department of Darkness.
I love it.
Or wait a little while and get it on iTunes.
Are you gonna do like one of those photoshopped photo shoots where everybody wears red and black and then you just like paste everybody into like a background?
I am now. I wasn't thinking about it. But.
Everybody has to get like a green screen or a white sheet.
Yeah. Just everybody send me your op. Guests, if you're listening to this, and I know you're not because you have better shit to do, but if you are, holler at the department. We'll put together a thing. No.
Awesome.
I think that's all.
Okay.
That's it. I think I've explained everything that I have done and have to do.
Yeah.
That's where I am now. And now I just want to wrap this episode because I got to start packing up t-shirts.
All right. Well, look, we'll start the assembly line. I'll fold you bag.
Nice. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 2 credits on the record now.
Nice.
What about you? Do you have anything to plug?
No.
Can I just a little side thing? And I'm sure you've already heard this from every corner of the internet, but just like to add to the chorus.
What's that?
That Spider-Man game for PS4 is a whole lot of fun.
I like that Spider-Man game.
Are you playing it?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am playing it. I haven't gotten very far because I moved.
Right.
I did a show and I moved into a new apartment and I haven't had a time to actually sit down. I'm basically like maybe 4 or 5 hours in. So
I did something. I gave myself like I just had to play it.
Yeah.
I gave myself like 2 days in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That were like Sundays.
Yeah.
That, you know, I would work until like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Sleep until noon and get up and be like, I am fucking, my eyes are fried. My ears are fried. I cannot work on this anymore. Today is a self-care day. And that all that meant that I would just like marathon many hours of Spider-Man. And I haven't finished it. And I'm not going to finish it before I go, but it has been such a great distraction because it's so satisfying.
It's so good.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
And because I loved those Arkham games. So let's and I wish they would have called this game Peter Parkham Asylum. It's excellent.
I don't care. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've been missing those Arkham games, and this is the perfect sort of successor to that particular type of gameplay.
Yeah.
And it's fun. The city swinging is fun. The beating up bad guys is fun.
I have perched on buildings that I have been inside.
Yeah.
Like, Manhattan's never perfectly rendered in video games.
No. But this is pretty good.
They take some liberties with the map.
No, sure.
But
sure.
I have definitely crawled up. I have crawled up buildings that I have been inside. And that is really satisfying.
I'm not very far. I think I just got the white spider suit.
Okay.
So I'm not very far at all.
Okay.
But it's a whole lot of fun, and I'm just waiting for another sort of day, a full day off that I can just sort of devote to it, basically, which are few and far between these days.
I really enjoy it because it's fun, and I'm playing it because I want to play it, and because the last game, as I talked about on the podcast,
you had to
was Far Cry 5,
and you had to,
which
play.
I played, and you kind of like spilled the beans on that.
Did I?
A little bit. I bleeped out part of what you said.
Oh, okay.
But now that this cat's out of the bag,
it doesn't matter anymore.
The reason why I forced myself through 30 hours of Far Cry 5 in a couple weeks is because there is a song on the album that is not about Far Cry 5, but is heavily inspired by Far Cry 5. And if you played it, if you played that game, and if you like any of the stuff that I've ever done, then you're probably going to enjoy a song called World on Fire featuring MC Lars. From the Department of Darkness.
Nice.
I'm not playing it here. You have to get the record on Monday.
Get the record, fuckers, and don't torrent it. Don't fucking pirate it, you piece of shit.
Listen to Uncle Lugo.
It's like it for the cost of like a Big Mac and for a cost of like a value meal, you can have some fucking music, you moron.
That was the most Sally Struthers thing you've ever done.
It's just the cost of a cup of coffee a day.
That's the worst Sally Field impersonation I've ever heard in my entire life.
It wasn't Sally Field, it was Sally Struthers.
Oh, then accurate.
I mean, it was pretty bad though.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 64. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Shape of the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow.
To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
You do have a thing for like nostalgia-esque cartoons, because you wrote a thing about Popeye, which is the other devil.
Yeah,
and now you have a Tom and Jerry song.
Yeah,
so I guess what I'm wondering is, when's the Captain Caveman mix coming out?
That is the most obvious next one in that series. Yeah. That's the one that I would go in on. I fucking love Captain Caveman.
I know you do.
Basically rolling around with like a bunch of hotties from
Captain
laughing.
Caveman.
There's like all these like little mod babies and like the go-go boots and shit. And this fucking caveman basically just screams his name and destroys shit.
Yeah. Good times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.